Okay, I have a lot. Well, I want to talk about all different ideas. Many of them relating to the rainbow. But we have to get there. We have to go in order. Go through some steps. We'll start with a question which has captured the attention of many commentators. Why is the story of the Mabel repeated, or I don't know if that's the right word, why is it introduced? Is it separated? Is it mentioned? There are multiple words to describe the fact that it appears in Parshas Bereishis, and then again in Parshas Noach. Almost all of the stories of the Torah, all of the different events, episodes, are contained. They're contained in one location. You have a parsha, with the story of Avraham Avinu, with Yosef, with Moshe and Mitzrayim. Why is the very end of Parshas Bereishis, Vayar Hashem, it's Maftir, Ki Rabor Ro'as Ha'odam Bo'aretz, Chol Yetzer Machshavos Liboy Rak Ra Kol Hayoyim? Hashem saw that man is evil, and the thoughts of his heart, Rak Ra Kol Hayoyim, it's a pretty catastrophic description, a horrific description of man. Vayinochem Hashem ki also esu adam bo'aretz. Vayisatzev el libo. And Rashi has some complicated interpretations. I'm not sure I understand what Rashi means. Simple means Hashem was sad. Okay, so that's a very, very bland, I think it's Rashi's second interpretation of what it means. Vayisatzev el libo. Hashem doesn't get sad. But over here, the pasuk is written in a way that we can relate to. Vayomer Hashem, Hashem says, Emche es ha'adam asher borosim yal pnei ha'adam. I'm going to erase. I'm going to dissolve. Rashi really translates what emchats mean. I'm going to dissolve. Man is made from earth and water. I'll add a little bit more water and he'll just melt. Basically, man's going to melt. Anyway, man is 70% of the water, so I'll add some more water and he'll just disappear. Me'al pnei adamo. Asher borosim yal pnei adamo. Me'odam ha'behemo adremes ha'rev ha'shamayim ki nicham deki asisim v'noyach. One exception. V'noyach motzachein b'nei Hashem. You know, if that's the only thing the Torah would tell us about the Mabel, Dayenu, all the other details, oh, there was a Teva, and there was a Mabel, and it lasted for a year, go look in the Medrash Rabbah. It'll fill you in on all the nice details. Look, there was the Rashi tells in Parashas Bereishis, in the Dor Enosh, there was a flood that destroyed one third of the world. Rashi says, "Can you imagine it was a tsunami? A tsunami, one third of the world was wiped off the face of the earth. A third of the world population destroyed in a flood. And the people didn't take the Muslim. They didn't get the message. They didn't get the message that if you don't behave yourself, Hashem will come and wipe you out." So how come there's no elaboration? How come we don't have a whole parasha describing exactly what happened and the warning signs? Hashem doesn't just destroy the world. There are warning signs. There are neviim. People are giving musr. You do teshuvah. Nothing. Not even a word. It's purely tradition. Look in the midrashim. The midrashim, there are maybe remozim in the pasuk. So here we have a few psukim. We have over here 1, 2, 3, 4 psukim that tell us about the Mabel. That Hashem relented. Hashem had tsar over the behavior of men. Hashem says, enough of these people. Emche es ha'adam asher borosim yal pnei ha'adamah, me'adam ha'behemah ha'remes v'yav ha'shamayim, ki nichamti ki asisim. But Noach is going to be the lone survivor. And then we can continue with you need a, and Bereishis. And then what do you say? Yiskadal v'yiskadah shmei rabah. And then you have a kiddush. And then you have a whole work week. And then you come to Shul Parshas Noach. Eile toldos Noach. Why? Didn't we do this last week? Didn't we learn about the Mabel and Hashem had Charata, he created the world, and Adam and Hashem, Vayimach? What's going on here? A Nochamo? And now you're giving me all of the details? What is the Medrash? Someone put the Medrash into the Torah? Why is the whole Hefer, the whole Parshas Noach, it was already summarized at the end of Parshas Bereishis. And if you want to tell me, no. You, a klal prat, okay. Ein b'chlal elamash of a prat. And if you want to say the practice, so don't, let's leave out the maftir. In last week in Parshas Bereishis, if you want to tell me that it is absolutely necessary to tell me every single little detail, so good. Eile told us noyach. And the last four pesukim in Parshas Bereishis, there's not necessary. Not necessary. The parasha should end with the Hanafilim. Hanafilim, hayuv aretz, bayamim haheim. And then we have the story of Noach.
The bigger kasha is from Vayidah, that Chamesha may show the old version Shem is from its Yofes in Bereishis.
Yeah.
Again,
right. Exactly. What's going on over here? My high. What's this? What is the repetition? What is going on?
So don't conclude with the davar.
Okay, so that's a technical problem. So we'll figure out a solution for that. We'll end before, later. That's a technical. There's repetition. There's a repetition, and now the repetition is like I'm saying, it's a klal and a prat, and then we strategically separated Parshas Bereishis and Parshas Noach. My high, that is question number one. Now the truth is, to answer this question, there's an Orach Chaim. It gives a very beautiful answer, and you can really elaborate upon the koyach of what the Orach Chaim writes, and he says, if you take note in Parshas Bereishis, when Hashem describes the evil of man, the Shem Hashem is Yud Ke Vav Ke, which is Rachamim. Vayar Hashem, Yud Ke Vav Ke, the Shem of Midas HaRachamim. In Parshas Noach, it says Vayar Elokim, Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin. In between. Okay, in.
Hello.
1 second.
Hello.
In between Parshas Bereishis and Noach, Chazal arranged to have a delay between describing man mitzad midas harachamim, the evil of man, and describing man mitzad midas hadin. There's a delay of a whole week. We have a separate, first a separate parsha, the whole. And the Orach Chaim writes that Hashem is repeating the parsha twice to teach us that he's patient. He always is looking to give man a second chance. When Hashem saw the evil of man, ki rabba ro'as ha'adam, it was with rachamim. Maybe people will do teshuva. Noach will build a teva for 120 years. People will ask him what is happening. He'll tell them Noach was a tzaddik, he was sincere. He will have an impact upon society. They'll do teshuva. Hashem doesn't just go and destroy the world. Hashem conducts himself with patience, rachamim. In fact, rachamim, he calls a very interesting chazal that says that when a person, the Gemara tells when a person does an avera, he creates, the avera itself creates a prosecuting angel. And the prosecuting angel goes to Shemayim and testifies what man has done, the crime he has committed. And then Hashem issues a verdict. Not right away, the court system can take years. In America, you go to court, it can take decades to go to court. And Hashem has to, make a decision till he hands down the decision. And then after Hashem hands down the decision, the prosecuting angel itself returns to earth to punish the perpetrator. So the Orach Chaim says, what's this whole delay? A person does an avera, the avera creates a prosecutor, let the prosecutor on its own, without going to Shemayim, reporting, waiting for Hashem to issue a verdict, and then coming back down, return flight, and then going and punishing the person. What's all this wasted time? A person does an avera, he creates a prosecutor, let the prosecutor on the spot go and punish the person. What's this delay process? The answer is, that's Parshas Bereishis, Parshas Noach, there's a delay. Hashem does not punish a person instantly. Hashem is looking to give a person an opportunity to do teshuvah, to prevent the Midas HaRachamim from turning into Midas Hadin. And therefore, we mention the evil of men in Parshas Bereishis with the terminology of Rachamim, Vayar Hashem. And then a whole week goes by. Maybe you'll do teshuva, and unfortunately, the people of this generation decided not to do teshuva. And what happened? Vayar Elokim, es ha'aretz v'hinei nishchasa ki hishchis kol basar darkoi al ha'aretz. Elokim. A new description. It's the same as ki rabo ra'as ha'adam. Now it's described in different terms. Ki hishchis kol basar. In other words, it just got worse and worse and worse. Person did not learn the lessons. He did not take the mussar. And now turned from rachamim to din. So it's deliberate. This is Aruch Haim's answer. It's a very beautiful answer. It's a very fundamental approach. Basic answer to explain the story is repeated twice. Hashem is not in a rush. He's not in a rush to destroy us. He wants to give us an opportunity to do teshuva. Okay, that's not. But I want to try to develop a bit of a machshava of what's going on here. I will go there. Let me ask you another question, another idea. When the first time the word Mabul appears in the Torah, Rashi tells us, asks the question, what is this word? A Mabul? What's a Mabul? What is that? What is the simple translation of the word Mabul? So in fact, we have a very interesting Targum Unkelus. Targum Unkelus says it means to float. The word Mabul, the first time, Va'ani, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Hinani, Mevi es hamabul. That's the first time the word appears. Hamabul mai malarts. Ask the average person on the street. What does the word mabul mean? A flood. Is that an accurate translation of the word mabul? Everyone says flood. Probably, I imagine the article it says flood. I mean, look, Targum says pasuk yidzayin. The Targum is the most basic translation. More basic than anything you can possibly find in an art scroll is what it says in Targum Unkelus. And the Targum, it's the oldest translation. It came before art scroll. It's hard to imagine there could be such a thing. But you know, maybe by a couple of months, it'd be the art scroll, but it's the first translation. V'ano ha'ano ma'ise yos tofono. Floating. A big floater. What does that word mean? To float? That's what it means, to float. I'm going to bring in this world floating. So what it means is there's going to be so much water, there are going to be animals, people, property floating around. Because when there's a flood, the tendency is things float. If it could float, it'll float. And then what happens? It's taken downstream. And when the flood is over, when the music stops, and you just sit down wherever you are. It will take things from a high location to a lower location. It's a method of movement. And Rashi develops this. Rashi says this interpretation is third. Let me go to the Rashi. Van Hinni Mevi. Mabul. What does it mean, the word mabul? Rashi, unlike Unkelus, gives you a choice. What's for dinner? Would you like fish? Would you like poultry? Would you like meat? Give you three choices for the word mab. Number one, shebola es hakol. Bola means to wear out.
Yeah, to erode.
Erode, good, great word. To erode. The mabul, it eroded the world. Everything was just worn out, damaged. Just
like Navol
Tibol. Wear out. Worn out. I just know the whole world became a shmata. Became like a used car. You used to have a nice, fresh, pristine world. After the mabul, the world is just like an old car. You know, you have to crank it up to get it to work. You have to that will turn on. The world is worn out. Number two, shebilbel es hakol. The whole world is all mixed up. Everything is mabulbul. You go into the forest and there's a house lying there. How did the house get into the forest? You go walk down the street, Avenue J, there's a big, massive tree lying in the street. How did the tree get in the middle of Avenue J? You go down in Coney Island, and there's a submarine is right smack in the street, preventing you from going down. How did a submarine land in the middle of Coney Island? How did it get there? That's what the mabul did. It was the balbel, the whole world. The whole world was turned upside down. Everything is all over the place. And the third interpretation is really what the Targum Unkelus says: shehoyvil es hakol min hagavoha l'namuch. It lowered. Mabul means to lower. How do you lower something? The flood. And he says, v'zehu l'shon ungulis, shetirgim tufona, sheheitzif esakol float. Everything floated. And then when the water subsides, all of the objects naturally descend to the lowest location. Something along those lines. Sheitziv esakol v'heviyam lebavel, shehi amuka. It is the lowest part of the world. Lekach nigres shinar. That's why Bavel is called shinar. Shenin aru sham. It was shaken out. There called meisei mabul. All of the dead of the mabul. Okay, so he's giving us over here three interpretations for the word mabul. Either to erode, to confuse, to mix up. Number three is to lower. Elyonim lamata, tachtonim lamala. What was high is now been taken down low. Okay, that's the second point. Then the first point we asked the question was, why is the Mabul separated between the beginning, Parashas Bereishis, and Parashas Noach? Number two, point number two is, why is Rashi giving us three interpretations for the word Mabul? Question number three. In the beginning of in Parashas Bereishis, when there is mention about Hashem's desire to destroy the world, Hashem's heart is mentioned. Now, we don't know what that means. Obviously, these are just terms which the Torah presents for us to relate to. But the words are Vayis'atzev el libo. It begins with Vayinochem. Hashem changed his mind, the heart and mind, kaviyochol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayinochem, there was a change of Hashem's frame of mind, his outlook towards society. Vayis atzev el libo. I know Rashi has two interpretations, but let me just take now, for the sake of simplicity, the second interpretation. Hashem was sad, kaviyochol. That's really Rashi's second interpretation. Hashem's mind and his heart were disturbed with what he saw taking place in this world. What about action? No action. No action. Vayomer Hashem. Hashem's emcha es ha'adam, I will erase. Okay, it does say emcha seemingly means I will erase. It means action. But let's go further. Emcha Hashem rasi. Why? Ki nichamti. Ki asisim. I regret. Again, the mind. But the focus of this expression begins with Hashem's heart and mind. Parashas Noach, there is no mention of Hashem's heart and mind. We're dealing with action. Vayar Hashem es ha'aretz v'nei nishchosa. Hashem saw what's going on. He made an observation. Vayam elokim l'noach. Kates kol bosa bo lefonai. It's over. Make a teva. Va'ani hinani mevi yasam al mayim al aretz l'shach es kol bosa. I'm going to go, doesn't say here to melt. Doesn't say to be emche. I will now destroy the world. L'shacheis kol bosa. What happened to Vayis atzev el libo? What happened to Vayinochim? That doesn't appear in Parashas Noach. This is a little bit later. Once it says later on when it happened, but that's not the thrust. Okay, that's question number four. One more question, then we'll bring out our Yisoid. The end of the Mabul. The Mabul is over. I asked you this question actually yesterday. The Mabul is over. And when the Mabul is over, Hashem, Noach comes down to the Teva, and he brings Korbanos. He brings Korbanos to Hashem, and with a beautiful pasuk, Vayorach Hashem es reach hanichoyach. Okay, we spent the whole shiur on this yesterday. Halacha, more in halacha. Hashem, the word smell is not a good word. You have a better word for us, the word for Vayorach? What's a good translation for the Vayorach? Vayorach. I have struggled to find a good translation for Vayorach. To say that Hashem smelled, that's a cheap shot. Vayorach, he took in. Inhale doesn't capture fragrance. Hashem, he took in the service of man. It's a very, very hard word to accurately translate in English. Vayorach Hashem es. If you have a good translation, please tell me. Vayorach Hashem es reach hanichoyach. Hashem had satisfaction. He took in, he absorbed, he experienced the satisfaction of the sacrifice of Noach. Sense, it seems too distant. It seems like he sensed from a distance. I want something more that, you know,
You're all using human terms.
That's the problem. Okay, That's the problem, exactly. Okay, but whatever you find, you think about how to accurately translate to the best that you can the words Vayorach Hashem es reach hanichoyach. Sense seems to be too distant. Smell, that's not, that doesn't sound right. To inhale
enjoy the fragrance.
Enjoy the fragrance. Okay, that's I think that's better, right? That's better. Enjoy.
Well, he accepted the fragrance.
Acceptance. Okay. Each word captures one dimension, but there are so many dimensions that we can appreciate are included in this word Vayorach Hashem es reach hanichoyach. Okay, fine. Now, and what did Hashem do? And Hashem said, Vayomer Hashem el libo. Ooh, we're going back now to the heart. Kaviyocha, whatever that means. That's what it says. Hashem said to himself, Loi oisif lekalel oid es ho'adama bavorho adam ki yeitz alev ho'adam ram in uraf. Remember the pasuk in Bereishis? Rakra. Man is purely evil. Here we have Kiyetzer Levin, just Hashem is acknowledging the same thing that he said in Bereishis, that's the way it is, that's the reality, man is evil. Kiyetzer Lev Adam Ra Min Urav, V'loy Oisif Oy Lahakois Es Kol Chaya Sheros. And Rashi here says, you already said Loy Oisif. Why did it say again V'loy Oisif? Shvua! Rashi, the reason why it says twice in the Pasuk, Loy Oisif, V'loy Oisif, Hashem took an oath. Now Hashem's word is good. It's gold. And when Hashem makes a Shavua, wow, that's serious stuff. So we're done. We're done. The Mabul is over. Noach brings the carbon. Hashem enjoys the carbon. And it triggers Hashem to make a Shavua. I will never, ever, ever destroy this world. Okay, and then we go on. He gives brachas, v'chulu, v'chulu. And then we go through many more psukim. All of a sudden, we have this thing called the rainbow. I make a bris, a covenant, the rainbow. And it goes on and on and on. It says a whole long, a lot of verbosity describing this rainbow, that's the bris. And this rainbow is the bris that I will never destroy the world. Excuse me, Hashem already made a shavua that he will never destroy the world. What do we need the rainbow for? You want a physical representation of Hashem's Shavua? We don't have that. We don't need that. We the whole Torah, Hashem, we have emuna. Hashem gave it was emuna. Schar v'oinish. And Hashem makes a Shavua. And you need now. There won't be a mabul. And Hashem zois ois habris. Hashem nosim beinu veinechem bein kol nevesh chaya. As kashti. And v'hoya ba'ani onon ala oretz v'nirasa keshes v'anon. What's going on over here? Okay, so the five questions we have presented. Review. Number one, why is it repeated Bereishis and Noach? Number two, why do we have three translations for the word mabul? Number three, why in Bereishis does it refer, Hashem reflect upon the mabul with his heart and mind, and Parshas Noach, Hashem goes into action, I will destroy the world. I don't know how to count. And then over here we have another question, why when the Mabul is over, are there two different elements? Number one, Hashem makes a Shavua, and then Hashem presents a rainbow. What is going on? So I want to suggest you a Chiddush, which probably 99% is not true. But the reason why I'm trying to present is maybe there's a little kernel of truth which you can develop on your own to bring out a point. I want to suggest is that there are really two separate mabuls. There are two separate There are two separate stories. Now, I don't mean there are two stories. There was only one marble. I'm not foolish to say this. There was a double marble. But the story in Parashas Bereishis is not the story of Parashas Noach. It's two different, completely different reactions to man's evil. Now let me give you a mashal. You have a Rebbe in a yeshiva. You have a nice yeshiva, beautiful yeshiva, successful, well-supported yeshiva, and you have a class, 25 boys, and you have a very excellent Rebbe. Rebbe comes in the first day of the class, and he has 25 students, and they're all wonderful boys, and the Rebbe has hope. He has the greatest hope that every single one of the Talmidim will succeed and blossom and be successful. And time goes by, and he notices there's one boy that's problematic. He's just problematic in every single dimension. Okay, so what? I'm going to work on him. I'm going to get him a tutor. I'm going to spend my own time. I'm going to learn with him privately. I'm going to talk to his parents. I'm going to work with the principal, and we're going to whip this boy into shape. We're going to really do everything that we can to encourage him to succeed. Time goes by, and it's not going. The boy really has problems. Whatever the problems are, why he has problems, whatever they are. And it's already halfway through the year, and the Rebbe sees this boy is trouble. He is trouble. And it comes a point after investing an enormous amount of money, emotion, and resources, the Rebbe basically gives up. And he says, there's really nothing I can do. I have done everything that I can do to work with this boy on his level at this time in his life to get him where he should be. What more could I do? All right. So not everyone in this world succeeds. Hopefully, maybe next year he'll get older. You know, he'll see the light one day. But right now we're done. So what do? The Rebbe says, just let him glide through the year. Okay, we have a half a year left in the classroom. I did everything I can do. So for the next 5 months, 4 months, whatever's left of the year, let the kid just glide. Let him just, go through the motions, come to class, sit in the back, fool around, do what he needs to do. Hopefully, he'll take the exams, he'll get by just barely enough so we can promote him, he can go to the next grade next year. Just let the kid, the expectations that I had for him on the first day of yeshiva, forget about it. I imagine on the first day of class that this student, by the end of the year, would have grown and blossomed. Forget about it. This kid's going nowhere. No, so that's life. What could you do? We have a half a year left. Let's just make sure he survives. He gets through the year. Okay, fine. Time goes by. Another month goes by. And the Rebbe sees that we got another problem. He's beginning to harm other children. It's not just anymore that this kid is finished. I don't have any hope for him. He's a problem. He's becoming a danger for other students. Either he's physically harming them or he's having a very bad influence on them. And we've done everything we can possibly do to protect them from him and every day, and nothing works. And he's committed some of the worst crimes. So you know what? We have 2 months left to the year being over. We got to throw him out. We're going to throw him out of the yeshiva because he's a danger to society. So look what happened over here. There were two chorbanos for this child. In the beginning of the year, we had the highest hopes and dreams that he would become the next Gadol Hadar. A half a year into the year, we come to realize he's not going to be the Gadol Hadar, at least not that's the way it looks now. And there's nothing we can do more. Okay, let him sit there. Protect, don't let him go into the street. Don't send him out into the street. Let him sit in the class, or sit in the class, as long as it doesn't bother anyone. Right? This is Mamash Maisim B'chol Yom, what I'm telling you. It goes on inside. We did everything we can do. We really, really did. I'm not making up. So let him just sit in the class. You know, he should. But then more time goes by, and the situation has gotten worse, where the child is now a danger to other children. He has weapons, he has drugs, he has this, he has that. Who knows? Kids are a big problem. We got to throw him out. That's a second decision, a second realization. The kid has to go. Two different decisions. One decision is we give up on him. Let him just wither away himself. The second decision is, unfortunately, I have to pick up this kid and throw him out into the street. Because if I don't throw him out into the street, he'll harm other children. He'll harm me, he'll kill me, who knows what he'll do to me. These two decisions that the Rebbe is making for this student are the two separate stories, two different mabels in the Torah. In Parshas Bereishis, Hashem didn't decide to destroy the world. Hashem created a beautiful world. He created mankind. And then Hashem realized this plan was a failure. Ki yetzer lev ha'adam rak ra kol hayom. There's nothing more I can do for man. Just because there's nothing more I can do for man doesn't mean I have to destroy him. Let him just destroy himself. Let him just melt away. In Parashas Bereishis, there is no decision. We're not describing, we're not summarizing. We started with the presumption that in Parashas Bereishis, we're giving you a summary, a synopsis, the cliff notes of the Mabel. We're not doing that in Parashas Bereishis. In Parashas Bereishis, we are describing a situation where Hashem comes to the realization that mankind has failed, and there's nothing more I can do. And what am I going to do about this? Nothing. Let the kids sit in class until the year is over. Whatever it will be, will be. He'll do himself and he will just melt away. There'll be global warming and the world will come to an end. I'm not going to go and do anything. He'll destroy himself. He'll finish himself off. That is Parshas Bereishis. Parshas Bereishis is. And the Parashas Bereishis, Hashem says, Hashem makes an observation in his mind, Vayar Hashem ki rabo ra'as ha'adam ba'aretz. V'chol yetzah machshos libo rak rak kol hayom. Vayinochem Hashem ki oses adam ba'aretz. Vayisatzei ve'libo. That's it. What, am I going to destroy him? No. Vayomah Hashem emcha es ha'adam asher b'ros mi'al p'ni adam ba'aretz. Now, emcha means I will, simply, the article translations, I will destroy him. But it's a very delicate type of destruction. It doesn't mean, like it says in Parashas Noach, where Hashem says, Hinini v'ani, I'm going to bring a mabul, lahash l'shachetz kol bosa. L'shachetz kol bosa means I'm going to nuke the world. Emche sa'adam, Rashi. What do you mean emche? Who offer? Man is earth. Hashem, when Hashem made Adam, Hashem took earth, he took water, he mixed it together. So Hashem says, how did I make this fellow? I too offer the ovial of Mayim, I'll bring upon him water, the emcheo, so I'll melt him. Okay, it sounds like the marble, right? It does sound like the marble, but I'm trying to. The plan was not to nuke the world. The plan in Parashas Bereishis is there's no hope for man, so I'll bring water, there'll be a flood, and man will just melt away. It's not going to be a violent flood. I'm not going to open up the Tohoim Rabbah. I'm not going to open the Arubas HaShemayim. I'm not going to bring sulfur, gofres v'melach, srefer chol arza. No, there'll be the water, global warming. Global warming, there'll be floods, and men will just naturally disappear. I'll destroy men, but I'm going to destroy men in a very delicate way. Basically, man will destroy himself. He'll just fall into a trap and be destroyed. Not with any violence. That was the decision the Rebbe made halfway through the year. This kid, we've done everything we can do for him, and let him just sit here and, you know, whatever will be, will be. Then time goes by, a week goes by. Now it's Parashas Noach. The kid is not just sitting in the back of the class playing with his smartphone. The kid is talking to the other children. the kid has become violent. He's dangerous. He cannot sit in this yeshiva. He has to go somewhere else. This is not a place for him. We have to pick him up with our hands and throw him out because it's a sakana for all of us. It got worse. The situation got worse. That's Parashas Noach. It's a new situation. It's a new situation, and it demands much. It demands more a hands-on approach to destroy man. It's a different story. Parashas Bereishis is 5 months into the year, and a decision has been made by the Hanhala. Forget about the tutors. Forget about the night seder. Forget about giving him rewards. Forget about talking to his parents. Just forget about everything. Forget. Cancel. Just let him sit here. Gesund to hate. We'll push him through. We'll pass him no matter what. And whatever will be. It's not our problem. He'll do it to himself. He'll finish himself off. Parshas Noach is a new story. More time has passed. Man has become vile. Now, it's not just going to be a flood where he'll melt with too much water. Now, we're going to pick him up and throw him out of the issue. It's a whole different type of story. There are, in the next parasha, Parashas Noach, it doesn't say ki rabo ro'as ha'adam. It says vayar Elokim. It says two different descriptions of the world. Vayar Elokim es ha'aretz vihine nishchosa. Gili Arayas. What is Gili Arayas? It's a bilbul. I'll take your wife, you take my wife. Animals. Gili Arayas. This is a mix-up. This is not your wife. What are you doing? Hashkosin and Arayas. Chomos. Then, not only Vayar Elokim, Vayar Mashem Elokim, it's Chom. What are Chomos? It's just said before, the problem was Ki Hishchis Kol Basa. Violence, gezela. So sachakol, how many problems are there in the world? There was an original plan in Parshas Bereishis, ki rabo ro'as ha'adam. Man has eroded. Parshas Noach, we got a new problem now. We have Arayos. Arayos is bilbul. Bilbul, man is living with a woman that's not his wife. There's a big mix-up. Everything is mabulbul in this world. All the animals are in Hishchos Kol Basar. What's the third problem? Communism. A redistribution of the wealth. The rich are now going to be poor. We're going to take everyone down with us. What is the whole purpose of Gedeva? Everyone. Communism, we always say communism is everyone should be poor.
The only problem with the first part is because even in Bereishis it says
that's different. That's a whole different story. That's not part of the Malbo. I don't think is not part of the Malbo. That is part of the some Rashi there says that when people in Shemayim, the angels in Shemayim came down to Nephilim, they came as well. Okay, that's a separate story. A lot of people don't associate that. Not necessarily is that associated with Dor Malbo. It's true, that's another episode. How does that play into the Mabul? I don't know. The Iku part it says about the Mabul is, it says, ki rabo ro'as ha'adam, ki yeitzelev adam ramin uraf. If you take the main components of the Mabul, the main components, it's ki rabo ro'as ha'adam, and then it's ki hishchis kol basar, and the third is chomas. Three things it says. And Rashi, it's not a coincidence, then Rashi says that the translation of the word Mabul, number one, means is I'm going to bring erosion to this world. Number two, I'm going to be mabalbel the world, going to mix up the world. Number three, I'm going to take from Lamala and bring it down Lamata. And I'm suggesting that corresponds, those three translations correspond to the three descriptions, Nida, Kineged, Nida, of what's going on in this world. It's concerning what it says in Bereishis, ki rabo ra'as adam, man is evil, man has eroded, so he doesn't deserve to live in a pristine world of beauty and glory. The world will correspond to him, the world will erode. It'll be an ugly Rabbi world. Levine? Yes.
Yeah, it would seem that both Gilead Arayos and Beth are really two
they're related,
the same
true.
Coin, because in either case they are violating that which belongs to someone else, mixing in, and upsetting the rights to property or the rights to the wife one possesses.
I agree with you 100%, but the bottom line, the two, they're still different. It's true, but there are still different. Like in the Aseres Hadibros, it says loy tignoif, and it says loy tinof. So you can't deny there's a loy tignoif and there's a loy tinof. There are elements that are separate. Rashi here says loy nigzar gzar din el mishum agezel. It doesn't say arayos, so it's true that every violation of an arayos is also in essence a gneva. You're taking away a woman who is loyal, who is devoted to another man.
But it's a more severe degree of gneva.
There are significant differences, right?
Of your own flesh and blood.
100%.
Something that's your property. That's a model.
Okay, I agree with you. There are similarities, but they're still separate. There are three things. So I'm suggesting that the three translations of the word mabul correspond to the three descriptions that the Torah gives for why Hashem brought the mabul. In Parashas Bereishis, man has eroded. Behold, your word. Ki yetzer lev ha'adam rakra kol hayom. Man has eroded. So you know what? I'm going to bring a mabul. What does a mabul mean? It means bola. The world will erode, will be worn out, will become an ugly, worn out used car. Because that's what man deserves. He doesn't deserve better than that. There's arayos. What is arayos? Arayos is in essence the bilbul hakol. Everything is belong. Everything is mabulbul. That's going to be the second translation of the word mabul. What's the third? Is to take what is an elyoin and to drag him into the mud. The rich will become poor. In society, there's no one rich, there's no one poor. We're going to lower everyone to the lowest common denominator, communism. Everyone's going to be poor. That corresponds to Gezel, because that's exactly what Gezel. In a capitalist society, there are rich and there are poor. Everyone is going to be lowered to the lowest common denominator. We're going to put everyone to float. All the money is going to float, and all the money will come down into the garbage. That of the idea of floating and lowering down to the bottom is a midah keneged midah for kimola haaretz chomas. A person engaged in violence, you're coming to take down what a person has. A person has a beautiful house, you rob the house, you ransack the house, you lower the house into a homeless center. So that's what you want to do? So I'll take this world and I'll take everything that is up high and I'll ruin the world. I'll make the world go down to the lowest level. Exactly, me the connection for Chamas. So we have three translations of the word mabul corresponding to the three different elements. Now the mabul is over. Our last question: what happens when the mabul is over? Hashem says, Hashem first takes a shavua. Hashem makes a shavua and Hashem says, I will never destroy the world again. Hashem says it to himself. And then, all of a sudden, go a whole page, a whole column in the Sefer Torah, and then all of a sudden, I'm going to make a bris with Noach, and the bris is, I'm never going to destroy you. What's that all about? Hashem already said he's not going to destroy man. The Shavuah that Hashem said to himself is Bereishis. The bris that Hashem makes with Noach is Parshas Noach. Again, there are two separate phases in the Mabul. The Mabul was originally planned just to be, the waters will rise up, there'll be global warming, there'll be some, you know, the world will just wither away, man is a rat, is kirak rak kol hayom. No!
Global watering.
The man is made from water and earth, so I'll add a little bit more water and man will decompose. And no one ever violent because man is hopeless. So in response to that, Hashem said, never again. Never again. Even though it's true that man is rak rak kol hayom, ki yetz lev adam ra min, there's all the different diukim and Rashi and Mefarshim analyzing this. But the bottom line is Hashem says, I know all about man. You don't have to tell me about it. I made him. I know all about him. Nevertheless, I'm never going to give up on him. In other words, the Rebbe, the fifth grade Rebbe, who has in his class this kid, and they've invested, the yeshiva has invested thousands of dollars on tutors, and have spoken to the parents, and have given them incentives, and have done everything in the world they can do, and now halfway through the year, the Rebbe says, I give up. There's nothing more I can do. Let the kid glide for the next 5 months. Hashem says, no such thing. I'm not going to let him glide for the next 5 months. We're going to get even more tutors. We're going to talk to the parents again. We'll give them even bigger incentives. We'll take you skiing, not just locally. We'll take you out to Arizona to go skiing. We'll get you, not going to just go rent you skis. We're going to buy you new skis. You're not going to just go to a resort. You're going to have membership in the ski resort. Ramachol, you know what I'm talking about? Do you daven where I daven sometimes?
Oh, sure.
Now you understand?
Yep.
There's a room in the yeshiva. It's a very big room. You open up the room. You know what's in there? A whole room of ski equipment.
I don't doubt it.
Very expensive ski equipment. Okay?
Over a band, have to ski.
You got it. So we're not going to just, we're not giving up. After 5 months, you're right. According to the rules, the books, after 5 months, you're entitled to give up and let the kid glide. We're not. Hashem says, I'm not going to let the kid glide. I'm not going to let him. I will never give up. I take a shavua. I will never give up. And then Hashem sees Noach. And Hashem says, I want to make with you a bris. That bris is not a bris. A bris for Parshas Bereishis. That's, I'm not going to throw the kid out. That is, Noach was involved in a different situation. Is that where in our example, where the child becomes violent and dangerous, and is sakar to other people, I'm not going to throw him out. What are you going to do with him? I don't know. You lock him up in the yeshiva. You'll make the yeshiva into a jail for him, but you're not going to let him out on the street. The rainbow is the bris for the problems of ki hishkis kol basar darkei ala'aretz and for chamas. Even for that, Hashem says, I have a bris, and we're going to find a solution. What the solution is in practical terms, I don't know, but it's there are two responses that Hashem presents after the mabul is over. And you can't ignore the question, why are they both necessary? Hashem makes a shvuah, I'm never going to destroy man again. Okay, very good, we're done. No, yiskadal v'yiskadash. Time for Kiddush. No, don't forget, there's another aliyah. The ois bris. What do you need both? The answer is, v'yorech Hashem esreach anichoich is Hashem's response to Parshas Bereishis. Ki rabo ro'as ha'odom. No more. I'm not, there's no more v'yinochim Hashem. There's no more v'yis'atzev el libo. That's cancelled. And as far as what happened, phase two in Parshas Noach, ki hishchis kol bosar darkei ala'aretz, and ki molaretz chamas mibnehem, as far as that's concerned, no more. I'm not going to destroy. Even though when we have those issues, I'm still not going to destroy the world. We're going to find a solution for that as well. Two different approaches. Okay, this concludes this part. Yeah.
The second one, he also promises not to destroy the world. He just promises not to bring a flood.
I'm sorry, Ian, sorry.
With the second set, he doesn't promise not to destroy the world. He promises not to destroy it through a flood.
A marble. Okay. You have to go through the nuances and calibrate the word. I'm just presenting the basic idea. Okay, it needs some more development. Okay, I want to tell you another two verloch, try very, very quickly. A short verloch. One is a very short word. Tsoyar tase la teva. What is a tsoyar? So I made a joke with you yesterday. Tsoyar is a floodlight. Floodlight. What does it say in Rashi? Yeisham, some say it was a window, a chaloin. The Yeisham, some say it was an even toiva that gave off light. What is a deeper meaning? So I want to suggest is, what do you do in a chaloin, a window? And I was a kid, I used to always hold and look out at the window. My bedroom overlooking FDR Drive. I used to go look at the cars the whole day, cars, going back and forth, never ending. Where's everyone going? Where's 24/7? All these cars going down the FDR Drive. Where is the world going? A car, a window, you look out to the future. Who's coming? Where are you going? A window captures, I'm saying out there, it captures an emotion of looking forward to the future. You're looking out of you're in a box. You're in a teva. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. There's a world out there. I want to go out of here and go and conquer the world. There's something, there's a future out there for me in the world. When you have a window, the window basically takes you out of your environment. There's more out there. Evan Toiva means I have here a treasure right in front of me. I don't need to go anywhere. I've reached my destination. I have the Evan Toiva. What do you want? You want to go out and do what? What do you want to go do out there in the world? Money. I want to go find all the precious commodities, the gold and the silver, and have fun and enjoy myself. And you got it right here. You got it in your hands. I have an Evan Toiva. Hashem said to Noach, go into the... What's the purpose of the Teva? There's a double purpose in the Teva. The purpose of the Teva is to prepare for the future. You have to now go through a process of reflection, preparation. The world's going to be destroyed, and we're going to start all over again. This year, the year in the Teva, is a year to reboot. Reboot the system. Reprogram the operating system. Correct all the bugs. Fix all the problems. Make a plan of action for next year, for the future. But mitzad sheni, I want you to go into the teva to reflect about yourself. Look back at what you look at the treasures that you have achieved in your life. What is life all about? What do you really have in this world? What is life all about? There was a double purpose, at least mentally, of being in that. When they come into, what are the activities? Where was the entertainment center in the teva? There were three rooms. There was upstairs, the middle floor, downstairs. Upstairs was for man. The middle floor was for the animals. And in the basement was zevel. People make a very big mistake. They think zevel's garbage. Every child in kindergarten, when they bring home their parsha sheets, there are three floors. On the top floor was Noach and his family. It's a pretty big center up there for the family, right? A penthouse apartment up there, third floor. The middle floor was the zoo. The Bronx Zoo was on the middle floor. And what was the basement? The garbage. Wrong. There was no garbage. Whoever said there was garbage? Who says there was garbage? It says the basement was zevel. So it says in Rashi. It doesn't say anywhere there was garbage. It doesn't say refuse. Zevel. What is zevel? Oh, the animals have waste. Yeah? Who says? Who says? The whole table was the Mamder HaTeva. The animals, the waste was where the animals had the way, the second floor. I mean, I don't know. Where was Adam's way? I don't know. Zevel means fertilizer. The word zevel in Chazal's terminology is fertilizer that is used to stimulate growth. You go to the store, it costs a lot of money, zevel. You go to the store and you purchase zevel, you sprinkle it on the earth so that the earth grows. You plan for the future. The basement was the Beis Medrash. It was a center of reflection. It was a chapel. It was a place where, okay, we're here, we're locked up in this box for a year. What's the purpose of being here? In the basement, there was an Evan Toiva, and there was a Chaloyim. Who are you? What's the purpose? What are you doing here? What's the purpose of your existence? What commodities do you have in your life? Who are you? Define yourself. What is your Evan Toiva? What is your plan for the future? That's zevel. Zevel is a chemical, so to speak, that changes you, has an effect on you. It cultivates the earth to make the earth productive so that in the future it will produce, and now it becomes valuable because now it is prepared. It has been altered in such a way where it's fertile, where it can produce. Whoever said zevel means garbage? That's what you teach in kindergarten. But as a mature adult, zevel doesn't mean garbage.
Hello?
Well, the Torah tells you about where the laundry room was, where was the server room where the Wi-Fi was located.
It was there, because that's where all your knowledge is. The library was in the basement.
The Torah has to go tell you where they had the urn and they had the most valuable commodity in the Teva war, paper cups. Like in the morning kollel. Where were the paper cups? The Torah has to tell you where they stored the paper cups and where the server room is, where the Wi-Fi connection is. Come on. The Torah's not telling you all the. It has to tell where the garbage is. Really? That's what the Torah has to go tell you? No. It says in Rashi, zevel. Zevel is a powerful word, which is a very valuable chemical, which changes the earth to become a receptacle that, number one, has potential to have a very bright future. The basement was the zevel, was the reflection center of what is this all about. It's in the basement where you have the chaloin. Normally you have a building, the chaloin is on top. See here in the room over here? The window is on top, the chaloin is on top. There, it was in the basement, the chaloin. I'm just saying that, I'm not saying it's true, but I'm just trying to bring out a point. In the what was in the teva? There was a chaloin, and there was a even teva. What's the chaloin? Is always the future. When I get out of prison, what am I going to do with my life? But while I'm here, I also have to have an even teva to appreciate what I do have, even in this matzah. Even in this, people, Rachmana Litzlan, are locked up in prison for life. That people have committed such horrific crimes, they're locked up for life. Why do they want to live? What do they get? People who have a lifetime, we don't find people that have a lifetime sentence killing themselves. You don't find that. Why? So what do they have? They're never getting out of here. Even Rachmana Litzlan, these people who are confined, there's what to accomplish, there's what to do here. And every person to a certain degree is locked up in life. You can't go do whatever you want in this world. Every person is basically under house arrest to a degree. You can't go conquer the whole world. Well, you're gonna go conquer the whole world, go walk into the White House, you're gonna go travel to other countries, do whatever you want. Every person to a certain degree is confined. And this is what Hashem gave me. There's what to accomplish here. There's an Evan Toiva right here and now in this moment. But there's also a chaloin. There's also a window of opportunity. There's a world out there. This is the musr of tsoyhar ta'ase la teva. You're going to be in the teva for 1 year. Don't waste your time in the teva. Don't waste your time. Go down into the basement, to the place of zevel, and dwell upon the tsoyhar. The even teva, what you could accomplish in this 1 year, and reflect on what your plans are when you get out of here. All right, we don't have time, so we'll stop with this. Have a wonderful Shabbos, Rabbi Simon.
Okay.